Good morning and welcome to the Project Jar Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. It's coming.
Had to do with silence.
Yes. I want a busy life, a just mind, and a timely death. If we reframe this quote in the context of practice, we might say we want to practice compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, and compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. Nirvana, no wind, is a lovely way to describe the absence of the ego. When compassion informs our endeavors and wholehearted attention is our attitude of mind, we experience a timely death of the I. Today, explore contentment by bringing compassion to what you do and mindfulness to how you do what you do. Record and listen.
Very nice.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay.
Hello.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
I was just, wow, that was really fun. I didn't think I was going to be called, and then I was called, so that's really fun. So what I love about this assignment and the last one was, it's sort of, at least to me, it's kind of both are pointing to, like nothing needs to change.
Aha.
You know? Except for, I mean, like the whats don't need to change, you know, or not need to, but, you know, I guess it's like in practice where the whole world shifts with a change of perspective.
Yes. Yeah. So we don't need to do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no, like, things to put on the to-do list to change your life, you know, change my life or
fix yourself.
Make things better. Yeah, fix myself. And it feels like there's a opportunity being presented to, you know, shift the perspective, to remind myself that that's possible.
Yes. Yeah. Which would result in all those wishes, right? For the kind of life that you would like to, that you would choose to live, who you would choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I was practicing with the assignment yesterday, it felt like, for me yesterday, it just felt like a realization of what I was, you know, it's like the assignment would pop in my head, you know, in the moments where it felt like, you know, this shift was happening or was possible, or it was almost like, yeah, this.
kind
of a thing.
Yes, this.
Yeah. Compassion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just enjoying, you know, I think one of the things that I just really appreciate is just the opportunity to enjoy my life or enjoy life.
Oh, isn't that huge? I mean, that's kind of everything, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's everything. That's the whole deal, that people really, I don't mean bad people, really good people, are not allowed to enjoy life because of this constant, you need to, you should, you better, why did you, in conditioned mind. And it's so unnecessary, isn't it? Because if we're here, if we're present, if we just give attention to life, we can actually enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, and enjoy just all the gifts that are constantly being, you know.
Showered.
Like, Yeah. Instead of just looking to see what else I want or need or whatever.
Or what you did wrong.
Yeah, what I did wrong or what they did wrong. There's
right.
a litany of things the attention could go
yeah.
to.
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So bottom line, I was going to ask Ashwini about this, and she'll probably tell us in a minute, but I have read or heard it said that nirvana, the best description of nirvana is, you know, it's like the exhalation. And sometimes it's depicted as an exhalation, the kind that would blow out a flame. And that's it, isn't it? When we just let all that crapola go, and it's just, just be here and realize
yeah.
that this is where love is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to practice, so thank you.
Oh, I
and
know what you mean.
It's a sangha. It's just
yeah.
the best.
The very, very best. Spoken as someone who just returned from the monastery, right? So you've been embraced in sangha.
I have, and I'm thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right. Talk to you soon.
Right, thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. It's just so wonderful to hear the lit-upness in that, which to
mm-hmm.
me is that very zen place that when you blow the candle out is when you see the light.
Oh! Well done. Did you just make that up?
I did.
I should have. Wow.
Well,
blow out the candle, and that's when you see the light. Wow.
At least in nirvana, right? Which is nirvana,
yeah.
which means no wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's our next caller to give us some more poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Linda Joy.
Hello,
hey,
Linda Joy.
I hope you can hear me. I'm having a little trouble with my phone.
No, we can hear you just fine. Yeah,
okay,
you sound good.
Well, I want to thank you so much for putting me on the call today because I am so filled with gratitude. And the readings this week are just all about it from my point of view anyway. And I just want to say thank you, Sherry. I'm so excited to see you Sunday.
Oh, good.
I'm bringing a friend who hasn't been able to meet you yet, and I'm just so excited. And it's like, have you ever felt like when you truly let go at a deep level that everything flows?
Mm-hmm.
It just
mm-hmm.
flows. And I started back to school last week, and I won't be able to listen to you guys every day. And I've been listening almost every day. And kindergarten's not my favorite grade. Sixth grade's not my favorite grade. But guess what I did last week and for the last 3 days? Kindergartners and sixth graders. And I came out of that school every day smiling. I had the worst duty after school. I had to direct traffic on Friday in the heat. And I mean, I guess I'm just throwing all this out to say that when we let go, God, it just comes. It just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so grateful. It's like for me to even ask for anything in this moment would be, so awesomely silly. Because it's just all here. I did a ceremony around the eclipse Monday night with friends, and it's just my life is so full, and I just wanted to share with you because... all of you that you have offered, I have been to the monastery this year in June with joy, and I've listened at least two or three days a week, and I just wanted to express my gratitude to you and Ashwini, because the idea that you two are there every morning just blows me away. I think you're so awesome.
Well, and I know that feeling of sometimes we're just so filled with gratitude that if we don't say something, it feels like we're going to burst.
Yes, and
life is just so good. It's just all so good.
Yes, yes. And I don't even want to take up a lot of time this morning because I just love hearing everyone else. And I know when I'm even sitting here sometimes thinking, oh, I wish I'd get called. I know that everyone who needs to be on is on, and I get so much from all of it and from, yeah, you know, just listening to you two. It's just perfect. Life is perfect.
Life is perfect. And we can probably, who knows, unless you get some other kinds of duties, we might be able to join you at lunch.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, you can listen to the recordings at lunch, and we'll be right there with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and I will. I do go on and listen to them afterwards, but there's something about being with you two in the morning that is so special.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's nothing like being together in person. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, you keep enjoying.
And I'll see you soon.
See you Sunday. Okay.
Yes.
All right,
okay.
Thanks, Linda Joy.
Have a wonderful day. Go happy.
Thank you, you too. Go happy.
Thanks, Linda Joy. It seems like the light is just there, Sherry.
Right. And getting brighter. Yeah,
and
something about that eclipse brightened everything up for us.
I know. All right. Here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my God. Hi, this is Susan from Florida.
Well, hey, hello, Susan.
I'm surprised. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, you sound good.
Great, great. Well, I hadn't thought to call in, but as I was listening to someone else talk, something just exploded in my brain, and I just wanted to share it. And that was that. It's, you know, I work. There are cues that I look for in my thoughts saying, you know, I've done something wrong. There's my incessant ways of telling myself that have become cues for me to go back to my breath.
When you hear that voice start talking to you in your head about what you've done wrong, it's like a flashing light that says, get to the breath, get to the breath, get to
the
breath.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't realized that when I am thinking about what someone else did wrong or talked about what someone else did wrong, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Self-hate and other hate is the same thing.
Yes. So my brain exploded with that.
And it's all self-hate, isn't it? In the sense that this is not happy.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. And, you know, somewhere inside of me says, oh, but if you get it out, if you talk about it, or you'll feel better. You know, about somebody else. You'll feel better. Dude, go ahead. And I've noticed people who talk to me and in anguish about this. And once they've talked about it, and I've hardly said a word, they just talk. They say, oh, I feel so much better. And yet it's really not contributing to going happy to our
Well, you know, salvation. Susan, that's an interesting one. It's a really interesting place that you're looking at, to me anyway, because what you're realizing is if you are going to do that process of, I need to talk this over with someone, you have the mentor, right? You can pick up a recorder, and you can put it in your right hand, and you can let that upset all spill out, right? And then you can put that recorder in the left hand, and you can listen to that person who's so upset, and she's this, and she's that, and this is going on, and you really hear her, and you do feel compassion for her because she's struggling and suffering. And then the mentor comes in and offers us those words of comfort and wisdom And we are able to lay it down, just say, okay, all right, I get that. But other people don't have that. And so if you can use your facilitation skills to be able to listen to someone, not egg them on and encourage them or, you know, the way ego likes to do. Let's get a good gossip fest going here. And, yeah, and I can't stand him either. And I remember the time that she, you know, it's not that. But really listen in a place of compassion for this person who's struggling and suffering. And then you can leave it there. That there is an element of service about that, I think.
Well, and, you know, I think I used to when some this person that I particularly had in mind would do that, I'd start trying to solve it, to tell them what to do. And then I just arrived at, I'm just going to listen. That's all she needs. It's for somebody
to listen.
That's
all she needs. That's right. She needs to be heard. And for people who don't have some kind of process for being able to hear themselves, then being heard in that way is as close as they're going to get. And if we add the element of reflecting, then they really do get a chance to hear themselves, which can be very powerful.
Yes.
And kind.
I just started doing reflective listening. I thought, what am I going to get? I mean, part of me is going, what is this going to do? Where am I going to get out of it? You know, And so when I started doing it, it's like, this is wonderful. It's wonderful. I love my reflective listening buddy. I don't know anything about her, you know. And but just having that person there who will reflect what you say, there's something so loving and accepting about it.
Yes. Yes, it really is magical in a way that we can't describe. And so you can take that skill to work, right?
Yeah.
You have to be careful though, because you know increasingly you'll get less work done because everybody is going to want to come to you, and because you'll be identified as that wise person who understands, you know, and all you're doing actually is reflecting them and helping them get to their own wisdom.
I'll have to put a
sign on my door. Which is what your buddy does for you.
Yes. And I'll have to put a sign on my door saying, listener is out, or listener is out.
Right. Right. Worker is in.
Right. Worker's in, not listener, worker.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's all very exciting. And when I saw that today during the call about criticizing other people, and it's just the same thing. I'm so happy I got the opportunity to share it.
Yeah, well,
thank
it's
you.
Good. It's really good for all of us. Those are good insights and reminders for us that, what's compassion and what's self-hate, wherever we see it, right? It shows up. Those two show up everywhere in our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
And
all right.
I think
see you soon.
See you in Pennsylvania.
Very exciting.
I'm very excited. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. You know, there's so many things that dropped in about that call, Sherry, that self-hate and other hate, only the process that divides self and other would hate the other and hate the self. Like, it's not a...
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, right? And the place that we often talk about, not love. And that place we talk about talking to the recorder rather than discussing it with someone else is that way of honoring the suffering, like embracing the suffering but not perpetuating the hate.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So being able to... distinguish between the self-hate or other hate and a person who is struggling and suffering in that same process that we are attempting to see and see through and go beyond.
Yes, because it seems to me that is what the reflective listening buddies does for us, right? What reflects us is a mirror without judgment, and so there is no perpetuation of what is hateful. And if we did talk to someone else from that place of
of self-hate rather or other hate rather than from that place of what we do when we talk to the recorder, then what gets reflected back is self-hate. And so to be able to have a listening process that reflects the authenticity but does not even the authenticity but just reflects neutrally, then we have so much more of a chance to get to be heard.
Yeah.
In some ways, it mirrors the process with the recorder, where we're expressing the suffering in order to escape that self-hating process, rather than talking about the self-hate and having that perpetuated in some way.
Yeah. We're going to a true experience, and in that process, we disidentify from egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wonderful to choose the mirrors that will help in disidentification rather than self-hate perpetuation, you know?
Yeah. It's a beautiful process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we have time for another caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. I made it on the air. Hi, this is Brad in Maryland.
Hello, Brad.
How are you both?
Excellent.
Good.
How are you, sir?
Good. I'm great. Listen, I guess I'm delighted. These past 3 weeks, I've managed to keep my commitments all 5, 7 days a week, so I feel like I'm kind of up to full speed with my practice. And I notice...
lovely.
I notice when this happens that I begin to have the experience of being lit up. And as this happens, what I'm noticing is the joy is coming from obviously listening to the heart rather than ego, not the content of what I'm doing. And I just wanted to say that it's exciting. It makes you lit up. It puts a smile on your face.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
And it's good to know it's a process, right? It's good to realize that it is a practice.
Indeed. And I wanted to share one other quick thing for you that I'm very excited to tell you over the phone. I got done meditating last night, and I looked at my insight timer that I have on my iPhone, and I realized that I have used it 1,116 times, which translates to 360 hours looking at a wall, I think. It's kind of neat that it does all those computations, you know?
And what you've really been doing as you're looking at the wall is seeing inside.
Well, yeah. I'd laugh and tell someone that doesn't practice Zen. They'd be like, what have you learned? I'd say, well, absolutely nothing. But the process that I've seen moment by moment has been amazing, you know. And they probably walk away scratching their head, and that's fine. No. So I just wanted to share that with Sangha because it's wonderful to have some of these new apps can calculate it out for you and just remind you. It's like putting the stars down on the chart or on an Excel sheet when you've met your commitments. You know, it's something to recognize, not from egocentricity, but just for the fact that, hey, I was there for myself, and it's exciting.
That's right. Yeah. My teacher used to say, be who you say you are, and which is very important. But be who you choose to be, I think, is even more important. And that's what that says, that you are being who you choose to be for your life. And talk about a spring in the step and a smile on the face. And you're right. It has nothing to do with ego. It's all from the heart.
Yes. And one last thing. I followed you for 20 years, and I didn't start practicing until 2013. And it's one thing to, I guess, admire Zen from afar, but it's another thing to practice it.
Isn't that the truth? I find myself in the email class. Of course, it's just what I've been doing for, you know, most of my adult life. But in the email class, you know, just constantly saying to people, please, if you don't have a recording and listening practice, please start one. Please start one. Please start one. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. It's going to be the most important thing you've ever done. You know, and I just in that broken record kind of way, because it is the practice piece, right? More than anything else, it's the thing that's going to move somebody to the realization that I want to sit. I want to be present. This is the life I want to choose, and I can do that. And I need assistance and support in making that choice moment by moment by moment. And we have the tools to do that. But it is a practice. It's not something we can just read about.
Yeah. I'm noticing a very subtle thing with my recording and listening lately, where I still record 3 times a day, and I'm not listening as much lately. And what I notice is I realize I'm getting more lit up through doing it, that I hear that subtle voice saying, well, you don't have to listen to it. And I'm like, aha, we know that that's going to make me feel better, and we know that's more ego getting in the way.
So. That's right. That's right. Because in this case, what you're saying is, well, that's all very interesting, but, you know, I'm not going on without him. He's the human being that I'm committed to saving. So thanks awfully.
It's really exciting. When you hear all that resistance, and you go, oh, still doing it anyway, you know, or you'll put it there, and you'll be sitting, and you hear all the excuses why you're not going to, you know, carry on with the rest of your commitments in the day, and you get them and go, oh, still doing them, you know, and ego's sitting there with his jaw on the floor. So,
thanks for the reminder,
exactly.
What now? Yep. All right, practice.
Thanks so much.
All right,
well,
Fred.
Thank you very much. Go happy, you two.
Yeah, all right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. That was so wonderful. Sherry, the part that I just love is that ability to celebrate life without it being egocentric. You know, the accomplishments of life without being egocentric. I think it is in the Screwtape Letters where he talks about the ability to celebrate having built the greatest cathedral on the world, and that doesn't take away from everyone else's greatest cathedral on the world. There's some way by which that celebration is the merit for all good acts we do freely offer to all beings.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And to do something beautiful and wonderful and realize it has nothing to do with me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Nothing to do with me. And and yet
all praise to God.
Yeah, and yet that doesn't in any way take away from all of what we experience as the accomplishment.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Just so grateful to be the mind and body and hands and feet that get to perform the deeds.
Yeah, it's like, make me an instrument of your peace, and there's an appreciation for the instrument.
Yes, yes. Beautifully stated. That's it, right there. Yeah. Yeah. Front row seat.
Front row seat. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry, and here's our assignment.
All right.
And it speaks so perfectly to what we were looking at, as usual. I have done my best. That is about all the philosophy of living that one needs.
Wow.
There is an old Zen story about a monk who attained enlightenment in a butcher's shop when, in response to his request for the best piece of meat, the butcher answered, "Every piece of meat in this shop is the best." In life's vocabulary, the comparative tense doesn't exist. Everything is simply superlative. The best. Only the ego assesses and finds life wanting or claims that something could have been better than it is. In fact, it's the ingrained identification with self-hate that denies the possibility that we are not always doing our best. Today, don't indulge any voices of comparison. Practice seeing the absolute perfection of what you do and what you encounter as the best of life unfolding. Record and listen.
Ooh. Yes, it does seem that we have a little theme going, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you,
Go happy.